Well, good morning to everyone. Trust it's a, I know it's a beautiful day. I trust the Lord has liberty inside to make it a beautiful day in each heart. And as we gather this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before Him with always, with some trembling in His presence, but with an anticipation and excitement for what He has for us this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful this morning to be here. We're thankful that You are here. We're thankful that Your Word of God is here and that the Holy Spirit is within us. Father, we want to give You liberty today. We ask that You would stir within our hearts and move as You would choose to move according to our need this morning. Save souls, encourage hearts, strengthen us together in unity to bring glory to Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was just thinking, today we have the Word of God. I think one of the brothers shared that this probably is the closest thing to the Lord Jesus that we will ever have until we get to heaven, is what he said. And that, with the indwelling Holy Spirit, most certainly, is the likeness of Christ. But I was just thinking about the tremendous blessing that we have of reading the Word of God and of being in the Word and studying the Word of God. And with that, the tremendous blessing of being a part of a people where we are all in the same Word of God. We are studying, we are reading, we are seeking the Lord in the Word of God. And we are all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I was just thinking, what a foundation for fellowship. Amen? What a foundation for the Lord to move. And I know that we have, different of us, have different interpretations of some scripture. So we have to, maybe we have to work through some things to come to a, you know, a unity of application. But what a blessing to be in the Word and to be in the Word together. And the Word makes it very clear that there is no one of us, no one, who has a private interpretation. And so I read from that that we all need each other as we are in the Word of God. It's not just the young that need the old. The Scriptures say, yea, all of you be subject one to another. So we want to be in the Word this morning. And I was just thinking, what is one of the main reasons why we even read the Bible? And we know it's for salvation. When the Word of God becomes the engrafted Word, it is able to save our souls. And that's beautiful. But many of us here, most of us here, have been there. We've given our life to the Lord. And we read it more than ever. Why do we read the Word of God? And I was just thinking, one reason, wouldn't one of the main reasons we read the Word of God be to become more like Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be one of the motives? I trust that it is. I trust that's a yearning of our heart. We don't just yearn for right theology and good doctrine and here we are. No, we want to be able to live it out, following in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the desire of our heart. I have heard that one of the highest forms of praise is imitation. You see that in the world around us. When you really idolize someone, you try to look like them. You say things that they say. And you try to present yourself to make others think of them. We are imitators of Christ. Yeah, that word is in the Bible. It's translated a little different. In the King James, it's translated followers. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And the word there, it says, is imitators. Little imitators. And be ye followers of God as dear children. Little imitators. And I don't remember exactly what the Greek word is there, but I remember looking at it. It looks like mimic. Little mimics. Little imitators. Followers. Little Christ. That's God's heart. And Brothers and sisters, I want that to be the foundation for our message this morning. A desire to become more like Christ. I'm going to put this here and lift it up. I can see my notes a little bit better. I have a message this morning that I would like to share on the circumcision not made with hands. And I believe that this is a message for all of us. And so I'm going to encourage all of you to stay right with us as we go through this little study. As I begin to think on this subject, I realized pretty quick that I really don't remember hearing a lot of teaching on this subject, the circumcision not made with hands. And I think it may be because the circumcision of the Old Testament, the circumcision of the Abrahamic covenant, and of the Mosaic law is completely done away in Christ. That's pretty clear in Scripture. Colossians, Paul writing, makes it very clear. He says that in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is everything. He's all and in all of these. He's in the Greek. He's in the Jew. He's in the barbarian. He's in the Scythian. He's in the circumcision. He's in the uncircumcision. Christ is all and in all of these. And Paul strengthens that even in Galatians when he says that in Christ, circumcision will avail you nothing. Nor uncircumcision. Either way, there's no value in it. But, he says, a new creature. And brothers and sisters, that will avail you everything. If our desire is to become like Christ. And that's the cry of the Scriptures, is that old things are passed away. All things are become new. And that's what it says. It's describing, if any man be in Christ Jesus. This is your experience. And I want you to know this morning that this new creature has been circumcised with the circumcision that is not made with hands. So I want to challenge us this morning. There are two circumcisions that are spoken of in the Scriptures. And I believe that to either understand either one of them, you really need to understand both of them. So I'm going to be speaking about both of them this morning. And I would like for our message to be very, very clear. And in an attempt to make it clear, when I refer to the circumcision of the Old Testament, the circumcision of the Mosaic Law, I'm going to call it the circumcision of the law. So you'll know exactly what I'm speaking of. But when I refer to the circumcision not made with hands, I would like to call it what the second chapter of Colossians calls it. And I would like to challenge you this morning, do you know what that is? The second chapter of Colossians calls the circumcision not made with hands, it calls it the circumcision of what? Do you know? Of the heart. Is that right? That is right. That the circumcision not made with hands is the circumcision of the mind and of the heart. But that's not what the second chapter of Colossians calls it. The second chapter of Colossians calls the circumcision not made with hands. It is the circumcision of Christ. Read it! It's for all of us, I believe. So in Christ, the circumcision of the law is done away. We agree. We know that. But the circumcision of Christ is established. It's a must in the life of every believer. The circumcision of Christ is not the circumcision that Christ had in His physical body when He was here on the earth. It is the work of Christ that He wants to do in the heart of every believer in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to say both male and female. The circumcision not made with hands, the circumcision of Christ is for all of us. Beautiful. And I would like to be very clear. I would like to begin by defining circumcision. And it is interesting to me that as different as they are, the circumcision of the law is different than the circumcision of Christ. But as different as they are, they both have the same definition. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to define them this way. It is the cutting away of the flesh. That's what it is. That's what they both are. One is natural and one is spiritual. And as we go through this little study, I would like to challenge you. Have you yielded yourself to this work of Christ that He wants to do in your heart? Does He have liberty to cut the burden of our message here today is that we would be more like Christ. And I'm just going to tell you, if we're going to be like Christ, the flesh needs to be cut away. There is no flesh in Christ. When Michelangelo made that famous sculpture of the David, it was just cold, hard stone. And he just chipped away. And it looked so lifelike. The veins were popping out of his arm. And I mean, it just looked so lifelike. And somebody asked him one time, they said, how did you make cold, hard stone look that much like David? And he said, well, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. Can we let God do that? That's the question. Have we given God liberty to chip away the flesh? And we need to be careful here because we know the flesh is something that we tend to defend. It's something we tend to justify. It's what we tend to say, well, that's not that big a thing. Don't worry about that. I just say, give God the liberty to chip that thing away. That's the burden of our message. And it's to be more like Christ. Now, more on the definition of circumcision. The word circumference is in the word circumcision. Circumference. Circumcision. And it means all the way around. That's just what it means. Every direction, full circle, every area. Now, the word incision is also in the word circumcision. And it means to cut. It just simply means to cut out, to cut away. If you look the word circumcise up in the Greek, the Strong's will tell you, it means this. To cut all the way around. To cut full circle. In every direction, to cut away, to get rid of by cutting. And whenever you cut on the human body, you know what it's called? It's called surgery. So circumcision, the circumcision of the law, was physical surgery. And it was done with a knife. Or at least a very, very sharp tool. Because that's what it is. But I believe in our little study here, we're going to find that the circumcision of Christ is also like spiritual surgery. That Christ wants to perform on us, on our heart and in our mind. It is the cutting away of the flesh. And as I studied this subject, I drew this conclusion. This is not something that automatically happens right when you're born again. You know, the flesh is not automatically gone. This is a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon every heart. It's an ongoing work. It's when God does not give up on us. He continues to work upon us, to mold us into the image of God's dear Son, to make us more like Him. I was thinking about Einstein. He kind of has a reputation. Albert Einstein, if you ever heard of him, he has a reputation of being a smart, being able to figure things out more than any other man that ever lived. And this is what Albert Einstein said about that. He said, "It's not that I'm so smart. It's just that I stick with the problem longer than most people." That's the way God is. And I'm not saying God's like Einstein, but I'm telling you, He does continue to work and continue to plow and continue to bring us to repentance so that we can be more like Christ. That's the patience of God upon us, His people. And we can rejoice in that. And so I'm going to ask you again, have you yielded yourself? And even in the present tense, are you yielding yourself this week, youth? Are you yielding yourself to the work of Christ upon your life to cut away and get rid of the flesh? Remember, our goal here is to be like Christ. I think it would be very scriptural to say that God's will for us is more than salvation. It is that. But it's His will that we would be transformed. That word is metamorphosis. Be ye metamorphosis. That's a commandment from God. Go through all the changes necessary to become not who you were, but who Christ is. Now, when the Bible speaks about the flesh, it is referring to two different things. I want our message to be clear today. First, the flesh is just simply referring to the fact that we are here on the earth in this physical body. And that's not bad. That's not to be repented of. That's God's will. He put us here. In the flesh. That's one meaning of flesh. When we confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it just simply means that Christ, in all His glory, laid His glory aside and came to earth as a man. In a physical body. And that's not bad. Thank you, Lord. That's good. When Paul said, "The life that I now live in the flesh," he just meant the life that he now lives in this physical body. And so that part of the flesh we don't repent of. We don't take our own life. That's a sacred thing that we are here from God. But also in the Scriptures, the flesh refers to the carnal nature of man. You can read it in Romans 8. You can read it in many, many places. And we will go there some. But the carnal nature of man, that is bad. That's what's got to go. And the Bible refers to it as the lust of the flesh. And the works of the flesh. That's what's got to be cut away for us to become like Christ. Because I want to tell you something. I want you to listen closely here. Our flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. Your flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. My flesh. We need to kind of say that together. Maybe that'd be good for us. Let's say this. Let's say, my flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's say it together. My flesh is always in conflict with the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know if you know this, but while we were quoting that, we were quoting Scripture. I would like for you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I would like for all of us to turn there. There's a strength of being in the Word together. Galatians chapter 5, and I want to read this verse. And for the sake of time here, because I know we've got a busy schedule, I'm going to keep this as brief as I can. But chapter 5, verse 17. Give me a volunteer, some young brother here. Okay, right here. Stand up and lift up your voice and read Galatians 5:17.
So the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one together, so he cannot do the things that he would.
Thank you, brother. Isn't that what we just got done saying? It's just a little reworded, but that's the message. And I believe that this verse is part of everyone's testimony. It's what we've experienced. It's what we can relate to. But what this verse says is that if we want to be like Christ, if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, then the flesh has to go. Are we together on that? We are. I know that we are. I'm going to read it again. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That sounds like a battle. And these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And that verse testifies that the flesh wants to do the things of the flesh. And there's a difference. And Jesus preached about it. He preached about it to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And don't get it mixed up. And we get it mixed up. And it's a burden on my heart. And it's taking its toll on the church of the living God. Because we can't give God the liberty to cut away the flesh and set us free so that we can be like Jesus Christ. That's the burden that we carry. I see it. I see it all the time. People justifying the flesh, saying that that's not significant. What are you talking about that for? Who do you think you are? Speaking into my life on these kind of things, that has no significance. I tell you, it's taking its toll on the church of the living God and the testimony that goes out from her. Lord, wake us up. The circumcision of Christ is the cutting away of the flesh. Verse 16, right before it that we read, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he talks about the battle between the two. Brothers and sisters, let's give God liberty. Can we do that? I think I'm just going to say it this way. We need to be honest. This is part of our testimony. There are things that the flesh likes to do. That's just the way it is. There are places the flesh likes to go. There are passions that the flesh likes to fill. There are websites that the flesh likes to browse. There is entertainment that the flesh likes to watch. There is music that the flesh likes to listen to. There are clothes that the flesh likes to wear. I'm sorry, am I being too passionate here? There's a burden kind of coming out here. And I just feel it. That we would give God liberty. I tell you, the circumcision of Christ will deal with every one of those things. And all of those things are included in verse 17 that we read. And one of the brothers here, I think it was Brother Samuel Black, he read this scripture in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. He said, make not provision for the flesh. Do we do that? How do we make provision for the flesh? One way is that we defend it. We protect it. We justify it. That is making provision for it to stay and not to be cut away. When we are protecting those things, we are protecting the very thing that Christ wants to cut away. It's like Gamaliel said, be careful here that you're not fighting against God. When we are protecting the flesh, or covering up for the flesh, or defending the flesh, or justifying the flesh, or making provision for the flesh, you will never be molded into the image of God's dear Son. Because all that's been cut away. We want to be like Him. May God give us that liberty. The circumcision of Christ will deal with every one of the things that you heard discussed in Bible school. I heard masturbation discussed. And I just got a simple question for you. It's easy. Is it flesh or is it spirit? It's flesh. And it's got to go. Jesus said the flesh is flesh and the spirit is spirit. And don't get the two mixed up. Because God wants to mold us into the image of His dear Son. And I want to encourage us. We are not headed here. The burden that I carry is not headed here for a legalistic means to control the flesh. I want you to know that. I believe in restrictions. I believe in obedience and being under authority. I believe in discipline. I believe these things are scriptural. We lift them up. But our desire here in dealing with the flesh, we want to be scriptural here in dealing with the flesh. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, the scriptures are way harder on the flesh than some rule against it. That's not the scriptural way to deal with the flesh. The scriptures are way harder on the flesh than rules and regulations. It's not even close. I have looked. I have searched. And the only verdict I can find in the scriptures for the flesh is crucifixion. Are you willing to let Christ do that work in your heart? It's death to the old man. That's what the scriptures teach. Romans 6:6. And then mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth in Colossians. And mortify. What does that mean? It means put to death. That's the way you deal with the flesh. I would like to, we're still open to Galatians 5, aren't we? Let's just look here at verse 24. I would like to fix our gaze here on verse 24. I'm going to ask another young man, give me a volunteer, to stand up and read this verse. Yes, right here, brother. Stand up and read clearly verse 24. Oh, beautiful. What part of that don't we understand? I'd like another brother to read it. Give me another volunteer. Come on, brothers. Go ahead. Stand up and you read it. Stand up and face the crowd. Lift up your voice. Amen. Amen. That's the full picture of how to deal with the flesh. They that are Christ's. That's us. Have crucified the flesh. But that's not the end of the sentence. With the affections and lusts. Christ is doing a serious work upon our hearts and in our minds. To have the mind of Christ. He's not only cutting out the flesh. He's cutting out the affections and lusts. And everything that goes with it. And just throwing it away. That's what cut away means. When the flesh is dead, I want you to know something. That's a blessing. When the flesh is dead, that is a real relationship builder. You had some classes on building relationships, didn't you? When the flesh is dead, that is a real relationship builder. I just tell you, when you're married and there's conflict, if your flesh is dead, you're going to work it out. You're going to have a good ear. You're going to listen. You'll be very gracious. You're going to realize maybe you're wrong. And you're going to have liberty to share your heart. And it's beautiful. And at the stage you're at now, the parental relationship. Is there strain here between any of you and your parents? If the flesh is dead, would that help? It would help. It would probably fix it. In other words, to be like Christ is a beautiful and a powerful, practical thing. And it's exciting. And it's not just for somebody else out there. It's for you. In your situation. It's like the scripture I've always marveled in the love chapter. Charity never faileth. Crucifying the flesh doesn't either. I just want to encourage you in it. It's a victory formula. And it works. It's beautiful. Crucifying the flesh. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen carefully here. There is no hypocrisy in crucifixion. Did you get that? I want to think about that for just a minute. When you try to control the flesh, but it's not dead, there will be hypocrisy. Guaranteed. Because the flesh likes to look spiritual. The flesh likes to live. The flesh likes liberty. The flesh likes to talk spiritual. And the flesh likes to cover up its secrets. But it's not dead. And when the flesh is not dead, there will be hypocrisy. There will be cover-up. There will be secrets. There will be guilt. And I want to say again, I've said this many times, but I want to say it here, and I want you to listen closely. Spiritually, you will never rise above your secrets. You will never rise above your secrets. If you try to rise, they'll just grab you. Pull you right back there to where they're at. There's no rising above your secrets. And I'll tell you something else. You will never rise above how much you justify the flesh. You can't. You rise by cutting away the flesh. Giving God that liberty to do it. If you have secrets, that's just proof that your flesh is not dead. But there is no hypocrisy in crucifixion. There are no secrets in crucifixion. Everything is transparent. And that is the scriptural verdict for the flesh. That is the work of Christ upon His people. The cutting away of the flesh. And so I challenge you again. Have you yielded yourself? Are you yielding yourself, present tense, right now, to this tremendous work of Christ upon your life? Now I'd like to turn to Colossians 2. Let's open our Bibles and turn a few pages over here to Colossians chapter 2. I want to just read this passage here that we referred to that calls the circumcision not made with hands, the circumcision of Christ. And I want to start here in verse 6, and I'm going to read just a few of these verses at a time, but I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And I think this is kind of the foundation, saying again, the burden that we have this morning, that God's will for us is salvation first. But it doesn't end there. It's His will that we would be like Christ. And that's what this verse says here. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." That's salvation right there. You can just put a period right there for salvation. But there's no period there. And so we learn what the will of God is. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Be like Christ in a very practical, everyday life way. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. I love that word rooted. We learn what rooted means from the world of plants and trees. What do the roots do? They give you stability. It's from the roots that we draw all the nutrients, all the moisture, all the strength for the plant to produce life and to produce growth and to produce fruit comes through the roots. And we are rooted in Him. We're not drawing to the world out here. We're not drawing from the world out there. We are rooted in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rooted in the Word. All of our nutrients, all of our moisture, all of our strength is just coming out of this into us. That's what rooted means. Beautiful. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then He says, beware. Now, that's a warning. Remember what we said the other night about warning? The Scriptures never give a warning unless there's danger. And a Scripture never gives a warning unless there's a formula for safety. And so we get both of them. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I want you to notice that the burden right here in this verse is Christ-likeness. He talks about things to beware of because they take you away from being like Christ. And the burden is that we would be like Christ. And He lists two things here. He lists philosophy and vain deceit. But he lists the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world. I want to say something about that. We know what traditions are, right? Traditions are, it's been done and it's been done and it's just been always done, and so you just got to do it. That's what traditions are. But the traditions of men, and I'll tell you what Paul's talking about here. I know what's on his mind because it's in the context here. He's talking to the Jewish people about circumcision. It was just passed on to them. You got to be circumcised. You just have to do it. There's no way around it. And Paul said, let's get above that. We aren't servants to what we've always done. We are servants to what Christ wants to do. Present tense in our life. And so let's give God that liberty. I believe, maybe I should just read here in 2 Thessalonians real quick. Chapter 2, verse 15 tells us a little insight that traditions are not always bad. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. We're reading from His epistle. You can establish these things in your home as a tradition to pass on to your children and to your grandchildren and to your great-grandchildren. And that doesn't look all that far away from me anymore. I just tell you, you want that to be established, but you don't want the traditions of men. But traditions could be a good thing. But it also mentions here the rudiments of the world. Now, what are rudiments? He's saying here that this is something that will hinder you from becoming like Christ. The rudiments of the world. Rudiments are the little things. Just the tidy things. It's not the big things. And they won't help you either. But he's saying it starts when it's little. The rudiments of the world. He says later on in this chapter about being dead to the rudiments of the world. Any influence, no matter how small, from the world needs to be cut away. And we need to be set free. And we rub shoulders pretty close to this whole world around us. Let me tell you, youth, I know you know that, but I'm just going to strengthen what you know. Don't receive it. Let it be cut away. Now I want to just continue on here. And ye are for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And I want you to notice this. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision not made with hands. I want you to just look at that verse for a minute and realize that this is written to every single person here. In whom, all of us, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's what it calls it. That's our subject here. But I want you to notice there's not a period there. Let's finish the sentence in verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. I tell you, something sounds like something died. There's been a crucifixion here. And that's what he says, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. We don't serve the physical body. That has been crucified. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. I love it. It calls this the operation of God. And I want to say something about that word operation. Operation, it means in the Greek, high energy. That's a big thing with God. God is putting tremendous emphasis, energy, time, continual working in this area. That's what it means. It's the word energia. It's where we get our English word energy. And it means very powerful. God is investing tremendous energy and power upon us to perform this operation. And this word is translated in other places in Scripture differently. And I'm going to tell you what it is. In Ephesians, it's translated the effectual working. Effectual means your heart is in it. And this is God's heart. It's the effectual working of His mighty power. This is the high energy that God is investing in every one of us to let God do this work, which worketh in me mightily, Paul said. And so I ask myself, I ask all of us, have you yielded yourself to this work of Christ upon your life? Have you loosed this power on your flesh? Have you loosed this power on your secrets? Have you loosed this power on your pride, on your flesh, to get rid of the flesh? It's the will of God for all of us. And I need to move on here. I'm going to head for closing. But I'm going to say, I'm not ready to close yet. You could say, well, Brother Dale, I agree. I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm actually tired of my secrets. I'm tired of my flesh. I'm tired of hypocrisy. I want this effectual working, this tremendous power of God working in me. How do I do it? How is it done? I want it, but I don't know how to do it. I'm going to give you three suggestions of how this can happen to you. And the first thing I'm going to say is that there is no easy way. There's no easy button to push. And then you won't be tempted anymore. The flesh is gone. At least I don't know what it is. But I believe that there are three things that God has established. And I want to tell you ahead of time, the flesh does not like these three things. We're dealing with the flesh. So the flesh doesn't like it. So I'm just going to tell you ahead of time, if there's flesh sitting here, you're not going to like what I say. Because the flesh doesn't want this to happen. If there's flesh here, it's going to react real soon inside of you. And it will accuse me of being legalistic. it will accuse me of being a fanatic. But I'm going to tell you, it's not me that's a fanatic. It's Jesus Christ. He wants the flesh gone. In every one of us, I believe. So three things I'm going to mention. And I'm just going to tell you the first one's the best. The other two are helps that I don't see as complete within themselves. But the two that are helps push you back to number one. And then it'll work. So I'm going to give you number one. I'm going to give you number one in the form of a question. And I'm going to say, remember now, circumcision is cutting. Are you okay with some cutting? Are you okay with some cutting away of some things in your life? Are you okay with crucifixion? Remember, that's the only verdict from the Scriptures for the flesh. So number one, in the form of a question, have you yielded yourself to the knife? Now, I want to explain what I mean by that. It'd be pretty easy to misunderstand what I just said. What I just said was, have you yielded yourself to the knife? And what I mean is this. Have you yielded yourself to the Word of God? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. That sounds like cutting. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Have you yielded yourself to the knife? Have you read the Word of God that way? With that kind of obedience? Is it a sharp two-edged sword when you read it? I'm not talking about reading it once in a while and then duty done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reading and letting it become the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul and change your heart and circumcise your mind. That's what God wants to do. The Word of God will cut if you let it. Now I want to tell you something about surgery. Let the natural teach us something here about the spiritual. If you cut too deep in surgery, you're going to do all kinds of damage, right? If a surgeon is operating on you and he cuts too deep, it can be fatal. We acknowledge that. But if he doesn't cut at all, there's no way he can get the job done. There's no way. If we don't give him liberty to cut, he won't get the job done. But the Word of God will cut. It testifies that it will. But I want to give you a guarantee. The Word of God will not cut too deep. We can trust Him. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. I need to cut this shorter. I need to move on here. But reproof, that's cutting. Rebuke, whom the Lord loves, and He rebukes and chastens. That's cutting. And the purpose of it all is to make us more like Christ. And I just want to say, purposeful obedience to the Word of God is the crucifixion of the flesh. That's a pretty practical statement. Can you receive that? Purposeful obedience to the Word of God by the conviction of the Holy Spirit is the crucifixion of the flesh. And so I'm going to move on here. Number two, and this is one of the helps, and I'm going to say this to you as youth dwelling at home. Parental authority. You know as well as I do that the flesh doesn't really appreciate that. But this is something that is established by God and ordained by God to bring molding into your life. And when you combine this with number one, when you don't just take the restrictions of your parents, let's say, but that puts you back to number one. It puts you in the Word. It puts you, when that happens by godly parents, it's a very powerful thing. Parents who have let God cut in their life, and now they're trying to do some of that in your life. That's a blessing. It's a powerful thing. I'm going to remind you that disobedience to parents is usually making provision for the flesh. These things are so obvious, they're almost rhetorical, but I want to say them anyway. And I do want to read here. Just let me read. I'm going to turn to Romans. You don't need to turn there. Romans in chapter 1. I'm just going to read some of the works of the flesh here. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Well, that sounds bad. Fornication. War. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. This doesn't sound like the rudiments of the world. This is the maturity of them. Debate. Deceit. Malignity. Whispers. You can say, well, come on, Brother Dale. We're not there. And I know that. But backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Whoa, now that one could hit home, right? Same list. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Well, I just wanted to read that list to show you the list that disobedience to parents is in. That's the category it's in. It leads to all those other things. It makes provision for the flesh. So I want to encourage you to be under the authority of your parents. And I'm going to move on here to the third thing that is can be a help. And I think I'm going to say it this way. It's the word of a pastor in your life. The word of a brotherhood in your life. And the purpose of that should do this for you. Send you right back to number one. So often it sends you to the automobile and puts you behind the steering wheel and you're out of here. Not going to put up with this anymore. And when you do that, I can almost guarantee you somewhere you are making provision for the flesh. Reactions are of the flesh. Meditation is of the spirit. I was going to say that if there's something in your life that makes your pastor nervous, if there's something in your life that you're doing or not doing that's causing him to lose some sleep at night, that should get your attention. That should send you here. That should send you to his heart, to hear his heart. That man, and he's just a man, I'm going to tell you something about him. He stood one day, or he was on his knees kneeling one day, and he heard these words. And it was a question to him. Are you willing to accept this charge? And the charge that is read to him says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and his elect angels that you observe these things. And it's all the list of the responsibilities of a pastor. And he said yes before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ and before the elect angels. And if there's something that you're doing that makes him lose sleep, that should get your attention. That should send you here, just like it did the Bereans, right? That's what they did. They looked to see whether those things were so. I want to challenge you with that. I want to encourage you with that. I want to say a couple more things here. I guess I want to say it this way. If there's a reaction in your heart to pastoral concerns or brotherhood concerns, if there's a reaction in your heart, I want to make sure, I want to give you a warning. And it'll be this way. When you react to them, make sure you are not making provision for the flesh. That is unscriptural. That is taking away the liberty of Christ for the circumcision of your heart. And I'm not going to say that every concern that every pastor had is from the Lord. I don't. In fact, I'll say this. One of the challenges with number two and number three here is that sometimes parents and sometimes pastors or churches cut too deep. They cut too deep. And it can be fatal. They can discourage. They can damage your faith. I'm going to acknowledge that. I think I've seen that. I think we've all seen that. But I want to remind you, if they can't cut at all, you're not going to get the job done. The work of Christ job will not be done in your heart, life and in your heart. And I think there may be some flesh here today. I don't know if there is. I want to tell you how your flesh just heard what I just said. What your flesh heard was, okay, Dad, okay, Pastor, back off. Preacher just said you're cutting too deep and you're going to damage me. Just back off. That's what your flesh heard me say. That is not what I said. With that, if you don't let them cut at all, the work of Christ will never be done in your life. That's what circumcision is. It's cutting away. Well, I said the helps should send us back to the Word of God, so I'm going to close. And let's just turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to close with the Word of God. We'll just go right there and close. And we'll just leave it with you and with the Lord right here in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, amen, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And I just want to encourage this. I love to read that passage, the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we want. We're not trying to kill that. We're just trying to get rid of the flesh so we can have that. The Spirit of life will crucify the flesh. The Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus will give Christ liberty to cut that stuff away. I don't know if any of you have ever had this second verse here. Seems to be comparing the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus with the law of sin and death. And I don't know if you've ever heard Brother Donnie Breckbill, I believe it is, give his illustration of this verse. I love it. I've never heard better. He just says there is a law here of the sin and death. And we're subject to it. And he likened it to a pilot going down the runway. And here he goes. And he's picking up speed. And he's going down the runway. He is subject to gravity. He is subject to the law of gravity. And here he goes, 200 miles an hour. Sees the end of the runway coming up on him, 200 miles an hour. And he's subject to the law of gravity. And he has to make a decision. He doesn't want to have a wreck at the end of the runway. So he hits the brakes. And he turns around and he goes back and he thinks, I have to just try this again. I didn't get off the ground at all. But you know, there is another law. The law of gravity is powerful. We can't monkey with the law of gravity. But there's another law. It's the law of aerodynamics. And when he realizes that the aerodynamics is a more powerful law than the law of gravity, now he's coming down the runway. Here he comes, 200 miles an hour. The end of the runway is coming up at him, 200 miles an hour. But he believes in the law of aerodynamics. And he puts his faith in it. And here's the end of the runway, coming up at him 200 miles an hour. And he just hits the throttle in full faith. And away he goes. That's God's will for all of us. That will happen to each one of us when we yield ourself to the work of Christ in our life. The flesh will keep us on the ground. I hope that what we've shared makes sense to you. If what we have shared doesn't make sense to you or has caused some confusion in your heart, then I believe that we need some more teaching on this subject. We need some more discipleship here, because I believe this work of Christ must be done in each one of us. Can you give God the knife and let him cut? Let's open our songbooks in the Hymns for the Church to 919. I would like to just sing a song here, and I would like to open the altar. If God is stirring in your heart yet for a deeper commitment to walk with God, to soar away, to put your faith in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This song says, I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. That's the flesh. I know no more. And the second verse, leaving my sin and strife. That's the flesh. And the last verse, leaving the paths of sin. Let's give God liberty. Let's stand before the Lord. And if God is moving in your heart, the altar is open. Let's sing with our heart before the Lord. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. So glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I will hasten to him. Hasten to let it bring.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.